Tonight we'll be kicking off our last sermon series of the year. Can you believe it? You're almost done. You guys are like, hallelujah, we're almost done. And then me and the rest of our Chi Alpha staff team will just go and cry together in a corner afterwards. But it's fine. So tonight we're kicking off our last sermon series called Ready for More. Raise your hand if you were in Chi Alpha back in the fall of 2020. All right, that's a dwindled number. For those of you that were in Chi Alpha in that fall, this sermon series title probably sounds a little familiar because it was the theme of our entire semester, your probably first semester here in Chi Alpha. So those of you that were around that semester are probably in your last semester of classes. This last month is for you. So you guys were Taylor and I's first freshman class, and you were all so very special to us. We love you dearly. And we want to end your time in Chi Alpha the way that you started it, with recognizing that God wants to do more in and through your life, that we can be ready for more, ready for the more that God wants to do here on campus. So we're going to spend this last month working under the assumption that God has more for us. We've been calling 2024 the year of revival, the year where God wants to open up the floodgates here at UNI and see lots of people come to know Jesus and to give us a heart that hungers after God. We've been crying out for more all year. And see, God wants to do this. God wants to do more here at UNI. He also wants to do more in your life. No matter where you're at, whether you're new to following Jesus, it's your first time, you've been around for a few weeks and you're testing the waters, or maybe you're getting ready to graduate, God wants to do more in your life and then through your life wherever you go, whatever city you go to, God wants to bring revival there as well. God has more for us. Are you ready? Are you ready to become the type of person that God can do more through? See, we're going to spend this last month exploring what characteristics God is looking for in people that he will start to do more through them. This month, we'll be preparing our hearts for the fall that is coming for those of you that stick around, and it's going to prepare those of you that are getting ready to leave Chi Alpha to leave well and to go make an impact wherever you go. So tonight, we're going to start off this series by reading a story from Jesus and his disciples. So Jesus had just fed the 5,000 with just a few loaves and fishes, and now him and his disciples are going to the next part of their journey. So if you want to open up, you have a Bible, it'll also be on the screen, to Matthew chapter 14. We'll be reading verses 22 through 33. And see, in this story, one of Jesus' disciples is about to have a life-changing experience. Let's read it. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost, boo," they said. I don't know why I booed. Anyways, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Our sermon title tonight is More Risk Takers. More Risk Takers. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. God, thank you for everything that you're doing in this place tonight and everything you've done over this past school year and the past 4 years, God. We pray for the more that you've promised. We love you so much. Amen. Amen. So back in 1976, three friends came together to start a company. Steve, and Ronald, they didn't have three Steves, unfortunately for the last guy. They decided that they wanted to go and they wanted to change the world. And they thought that the way they could do that would be through technology. So they put their minds together and they started working on a computer. And they eventually got their company up and running and ready to go. And just a few weeks after the company officially filed their trademark, they were going to be a company, they were all in. Just a couple weeks afterwards, Ronald got a little nervous. Ronald decided it was too risky. See, he had a company before this, and it kind of burned him. It actually led to so much debt that he had to work for a full year just to pay it off, and he did not want that to happen again. It was too much risk, too far out of his comfort zone to stay in this company. So just a few weeks after the start of this company, Ronald sold his 10% share for $800. It's not bad, right? We'll take 800 bucks. That company was Apple. Today, 10% of Apple would be worth $280 billion. Ronald lost out on some money because he thought the risk was just too great. He wanted to play it safe. He wanted to stay in his comfort zone, and that ended up costing him. See, Ronald choosing to not be a risk taker cost him billions of dollars. And see, I think many of us can relate to this idea. Let's just be honest. Most of us really like our comfort zones. We are risk-averse people. We deeply desire comfort, stability. We don't want life to be too stretching. This is especially true for us Midwest Iowa people. Those of you that are from that town that you have to use like a town an hour away to explain where your town is, you understand me. You're like, yes, the biggest risk we have is do we go to Subway or Casey's? Because those are the only two options. And so we pray and we fast to see which one the Lord is calling today. And then you go to both. But anyways, not to make fun of small town Iowa. It's easy for us Iowans to just kind of want to coast through life, play it safe, and do as little damage as possible. See, I think many of us are scared to take risks, to do something that could harm us or push us out of our comfort zone. See, we want to avoid risk, but at the same time, I deeply believe many of us want to make a difference with our lives. We want God to do something in us. We want to leave a legacy. We want our lives to matter. We want people to show up to our funeral. We live in between these two desires, this desire to stay in our comfort zone and the same desire to change the world around us. But see, reality is, that's really hard to have both. Reality is, nothing great ever happened inside your comfort zone. No one walks on water unless they get out of the boat. See, Peter and the disciples are just cruising along in the boat, and they look out and they see something moving. And it's nighttime, it's a little stormy. I think they're probably already on edge. They're a little spooked. Maybe they're telling each other scary stories beforehand. Who really knows what's going on in there? But then they see this thing going by, and they think it's a ghost. And then their buddy Jesus cries out, "Hey, yo, take courage. It's just me. Don't be afraid. We're all good." Peter's not convinced, though. He calls out, "Jesus, if that's really you, tell me to come out there." I don't think Peter knew what he was saying. See, we learn as you read the Bible that Peter tends to act on impulse, and he's kind of like baiting this ghost. He's like, okay, that's not really Jesus. I think he's thinking, that's not Jesus, so he's not going to tell me to walk on water. Okay, if it's really you, tell me to come out there. I think he's thinking there's no shot that this is going to happen. For example, I remember a time my boy Billy Jones over here, he told me once that he could dunk, and he was wearing slides. And I thought, there's no shot this guy can dunk in slides. And so I said, okay, Billy, go and dunk then. And then he dunked in slides, and I looked really stupid. But anyways, I think Peter was kind of like that. He's like, no chance bro's going to ask me to go walk on water. But then Jesus surprises Peter. He says, oh, okay, come on out. In this moment, Peter has a choice to make, a choice that will define his life. Will he get out of the boat? Will he take a step of faith? Will he be a risk taker? Often in life, we are placed in these kind of situations. We are given an opportunity to take a risk. We have to decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to walk on water, or are we going to stay in the boat? For example, maybe you see someone on campus who's hurting, whether physically or emotionally, and you feel led that you're supposed to go pray for them. Or maybe you see someone that you've had in class or something, and you feel like you're supposed to invite them to small group. Will you do it? Will you take a risk and talk to that person? Or are you just gonna keep walking and acting like you didn't see them there? We are given these opportunities all the time. Or maybe we're given an opportunity to sign up for a mission trip or to step into small group leadership. Are we gonna do that and take a risk? Or are we gonna stay in our comfort zone? Or maybe this looks like you're getting ready to graduate and you're given the opportunity to decide what career to take, and maybe one's safer, one's riskier, or maybe you move off and you get this new job and you'll have an opportunity. Will you go out of your way to make new friends in this new workplace, or are you gonna stay in your comfort zone and remain to yourself? We're all given these moments in life where we have to decide, are we gonna take a risk, or are we gonna play it safe? And I'm convinced these are the moments that define our lives. In these big moments, we will be faced with a big temptation. We will be tempted when we have a big decision to make to just delay that decision. Where are my people at who struggle with commitment? That's you, baby. You get it. Oh, yeah, they all get me. Come on. You're the ones who are bad at texting back. I got you. That's me too. Me too. See, I don't even like deciding like what I'm going to get at a restaurant. I want everyone else to order first because I don't want to be locked in, right? What happens if I change my mind or I want to do something else? I get it. See, I got married really young, so you would think that I'm okay with commitment, but it was like that was a one-time thing. Like, I want to get married young just because I thought she was cute. I'm like, there's no shot this will ever work again. So that one, I didn't scare to commitment. After that, I'm like kind of terrified of it. So we just decided to delay decisions. Like, I don't want to commit to staying in the boat, right? We're not going to, like, I don't want to commit, I'm going to stand here. But I'm also really terrified to actually, like, get out of the boat. So then we say, Jesus, I just need time to think. Those of you that are pretty bad at making plans, so you're like, I don't want to put something on the calendar because you never know if something better is going to come along. We don't say that. That'd be whole rude to say, but we're thinking it, right? Like, hey, you want to hang out next Friday? Like, I don't know. Depends if someone more attractive asks. We'll see. We delay these decisions. Oh, you're like, crap, I relate. Well, I probably shouldn't say crap. Let's keep going. And delaying decisions is fine unless you want to see God move in and through your life. If you actually want God to do more with you, you must be willing to act. We cannot spend all of our time thinking about acting or researching or pondering. Sometimes life requires us to just make a decision. You'll never walk on water if you spend all your time in the boat researching, should I or should I not walk on water? And what is the likelihood of me drowning if I step out, right? If we spend all our time on Google, we're not going to get out of the boat. God does not usually do more for those that stay in the boat. God does more for the people who take a risk, through people like Peter. So if you want to accomplish something for God, you must be willing to take a step of faith. If you want to be used by God, you've got to be a risk taker. And risk takers have the courage to step out. They don't let their lives be defined by their comfort zones. The boat is way more comfortable than walking on water, right? Peter had to go real far out of his comfort zone. But because he was willing to act, he got to walk on water. So if you want God to use you, you got to get out of your comfort zone and stretch yourself and do some things that are risky. The greatest things we'll ever do will require the greatest amount of risk. This could look like actually taking a risk and talking to someone on campus about Jesus or inviting that friend to Chi Alpha. So I think this is an area of being missional that we love to overthink it and like delay the decision. We think, well, let's say you have a friend or a classmate and you want to talk about Jesus. Like, well, now's not a good time though. They look distracted. I might bother them by talking about Jesus. We only met 4 years ago. That's not enough time to build enough relational equity for me to bring up Jesus. I need another 4 years, and then I will let them see my cross necklace. Then we'll do it. Or like, they've got AirPods in. I don't want to interrupt them. This could be awkward. They could be jamming out. I understand this. Hear me. There's no sense of judgment in this. Let me tell you a story. Just a few years ago when I was a student, which like that wasn't a few years ago. It was a few years ago. But anyways, I was in the WRC, and I was shooting hoops by myself, and there's no one else in the gym. But then some other guy walked in, and I instantly felt the Holy Spirit tell me to go talk to him about Jesus. I proceeded to think of every reason why I should not do that. I was like, I don't want to bother him. He's got headphones in. What if I come across awkward? What if I push him farther away from you, Jesus? That might happen. And then I'm going to let you into my life. I'm not that good at basketball, but I was like, I'm going to shoot a three. And if it goes in, Jesus, I will talk to him about you. But if it doesn't go in, I can't do it. And then I'd shoot, and I think I made it legit. I'm like, oh, we got to do best two out of three, and there's no shot I'm getting best two out of three in that. And so I'm sitting there literally shooting my way and thinking about it, overanalyzing if I should talk to this person about Jesus, and then I look over, and oh, he's gone now. I lost my chance to talk to this guy about Jesus because I spent too much time thinking about it. And maybe me being a risk taker and talking to him could have seen his life changed. I have no idea where the guy's at. I've never seen him since then. I'll never know what God could have done in his life because I was too scared to get out of the boat. And the fact that I remember this almost 10 years ago now shows you how these things will impact you, right? So the reason I encourage you to take some risks is not because we want something from you. It's because I think God wants to do something in you and for you. See, if we want to live missionally, we need to stop overthinking it and just build relationships with people and talk to them about Jesus. But risk-taking goes beyond just living missionally. If we want God to do something great in our lives, it's going to require us to take steps of faith in all areas, all right? So I just want to use missions to give you one example, but it applies everywhere. Let's go back to Peter in the boat. So Peter decides to act. He says, I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to get out of the boat. And then he begins to walk on water. And I think Pete's feeling good about himself because he takes a step. He's like, It's like pinky toe. Ooh, that's working. He's just like slowly, he's like going. He's feeling good. He's looking back at, what's up, disciples? I got this. And he's walking. He's feeling good about himself. All is well in Peter's world. Because see, when Peter is walking, he had his eyes on Jesus. But the moment that he noticed the wind and he lost his focus on Jesus was the moment that fear took over and he started thinking about the storm around him and then he started to sink. See, what Peter did is he shifted his focus from Jesus and turned it to himself in his situation. The moment he stopped looking at Jesus was the moment fear took over and he lost his faith. He took a risk, but he struggled to keep taking risks because he lost his focus on Jesus. He lost his why. So if you want to be a risk taker and be used by God, you've got to stay laser focused on Jesus. Once you lose focus of why you stepped out of your comfort zone in the first place, you'll start to question everything. Because see, this all has to do with motivation. So let's say the risk you want to take is inviting someone to small group. When your motivation is you want to see that person come to know Jesus and find life and fulfillment in God and to love them, that motivation will be strong. That motivation, because you truly love someone, will be strong enough to work past your fears, go out of your comfort zone, and see them be invited. I like to think that you will sacrifice your comfort zone for someone else's soul. However, if the motivation in inviting someone to small group shifts to, I want my small group leader to be proud of me, that motivation's not actually that strong. That motivation might be strong enough to get you to like invite one person to small group so you feel good about yourself and you check off a box, but it's not strong enough to continually sacrifice your comfort zone, right? We think about our motivation. Motivation is why we do the things we do and who we do them for. Why do you do the things you do and who are you doing them for? And if our motivation is inward focus, we are going to fail to take the risks that God is asking of us. But if we can get our motivation outward and onto Jesus, we'll become risk takers because risk takers have the resolve to keep their eyes on Jesus. Risk takers remember their why. See, we take risks because we want God to do more in us and through us. Another example of this, especially for those who are getting ready to graduate, is as you graduate, you might feel compelled to take a bold step of faith financially. You'll probably start making more money than you ever have before, and you'll be faced with a choice. Will you play it safe and use all the money for you, your security, your retirement, or will you be a risk taker and trust God with your finances and be radically generous? Will you give away more than you could have ever thought possible? If your motivation is you feel like you should be generous and you feel obligated to be generous, that will not be strong enough than your motivation to buy that new thing you see, or your motivation to have a thick savings account so you can feel secure. That's not a strong motivation, but if your motivation is, I want to be a kind of person who trusts God, and I want to see the mission of God go forward in different areas, whether it's with your local church, here at Chi Alpha, whatever you're feeling to be generous towards, if your motivation is, I want to see Jesus known, that will be strong enough to help you take risks. So we have to have the resolve that no matter what life throws our way, we will keep our eyes on Jesus. And how do we do this? Well, for those of you that have been around since our first Ready for More series back in 2020, you'll know that Chi Alpha, we are very much a one-trick pony. If you want to keep your eyes on Jesus, you must spend time with him. You must live a life of what we call around here real devotion. Real devotion, knowing God, knowing yourself, spending intimate time with Jesus in prayer, spend time in the Word of God. To be a risk taker, you got to prioritize time in the presence of God. You got to prioritize time doing the spiritual practices. So as you're going off to maybe it's graduation or for a lot of us going into the summer, it'll be tempting for you to take your eyes off of Jesus. Because right now, not that it's easy to follow Jesus, but it's a little bit easier because you've got all your Chi Alpha friends around you. The test of your resolve to follow Jesus is not how well you do in this setting, it's how well you're going to do when you go home. When you're home in the summer and your friends aren't around you, you don't have small group once a week, large group once a week, church once a week, and you're hanging out with people like 4 or 5 times a week. The test of your resolve is, can you keep following Jesus even when someone's not right behind you checking up on you? That's how we know what God is doing in our hearts. It'll be tempting to take our eyes off of Jesus in the summer or in graduation, to focus on our own situations, ourselves. But if you want to be a risk-taking, water-walking person, you have to have the resolve to keep your eyes fixated on King Jesus. Because Peter takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink. He boldly got out of the boat. He's like, Jesus, I got you. And then he starts to walk. He succeeds for a bit. But eventually, Peter fails. Peter took a risk, and it worked out for a time, but then his faith failed him. If you grew up in church, you've read this story before, you focus usually on this part of the story. We focus on Peter's failure. And it can be easy for us to picture Jesus kind of angry. Like, oh, Peter, you have little faith. Why did you fail? But I don't really see it that way. See, I think Jesus grabbed his buddy Peter, and with kind of a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye, he grabbed the failing Peter and he says, oh, buddy, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And here's why I think that. Because we have to recognize that Peter could not have failed after like one or two steps out of the boat, because Jesus was physically close enough to like grab him so he doesn't drown, right? Jesus grabbed him. So that means that Peter had made some ground. He had taken multiple steps of faith to get close to Jesus. He had taken steps. He was so close. So I think when he's starting to sink, Jesus grabs him. He's like, oh, buddy, you were so close. You're one step away from me. And so I don't think Jesus is mad at Peter in that moment, but he's thinking, oh, you were so close. I think we get too wrapped up in Peter's failure when we have to recognize that the beauty is the fact that at least he tried. Think about this. In Peter's great moment of failure, failing to walk on water, who was closer to Jesus? Was it Peter? Or was it the disciples all the way back in the boat? Even though Peter failed, Peter's failure got him closer to Jesus than the disciples' lack of trying. See, we often think that failing is the worst thing that could ever happen to us, but that is not the case. It was much better for Peter to try and fail than to not try at all, because trying and failing at least got Peter a little bit closer to Jesus. Risk takers have the understanding that failure is not fatal. Failure is not fatal. Failure is not fatal. Something I've noticed from this generation is we are terrified of failing, terrified of not measuring up, not being good enough. The only way we grow as Jesus followers and as human beings is through failing. You will not be perfect. And whatever thing you want to step out and do in life, you will fail. You're like, oh, that's so encouraging. Thank you. You will fail, and that's okay. Because failure is not fatal. If you want God to do more in and through your life, you have to accept the fact that you're going to experience some failure. You might try and walk with Jesus and then try to go and talk to someone else about Jesus, and then they'll reject you. You might take a bold step of faith and jump into small group leadership, and it might not go super well. You might move on from here after graduating and try to follow Jesus well, but not start off strong and have a really rough first month after Chi Alpha. You will fail, because all people do. But failure is not fatal unless we let failure define us. Failure is only fatal when it keeps us from trying again. So Pete failed. Tried to walk on water, he ended up swimming with the fishes. So Peter had a choice to make. Was this going to be the end of his discipleship journey? I'm going to go out on a limb and say Pete was a little embarrassed. He was pretty bold. He's like, Jesus, I got you. Tell me to come walk on water. He's like, I'm about to do this. Peter had a little bravado to him. He was pretty confident. He told Jesus he could do it, only to fail. Would he let this embarrassment keep him from following after Jesus? Would he let his failure keep him from trying? Or would he continue to go after God? Would he continue to try to be a person of faith and take risk even after he tried and failed? What kind of person was Peter going to become? And see, Peter decided, even after failing to walk on water all the way to Jesus, that failure was not going to define him. He was going to keep going. And this led Peter to go from the guy who had no faith to walk all the way on water. After that, he ups the ante and he denies Jesus three times, two times to a little girl. He goes from that person to someone who preaches and sees 3,000 people come to know Jesus in one day. He goes on to take a risk and tell a lame man, hey, get up and walk. And the guy, well, gets up and walks. He goes on to heal people, to perform miracles. Peter starts the early church. Peter is kind of like the foundation of everything we do in the church. And all those things took some risks, right? He risked looking stupid. Hey, get up and walk. If the guy like tried and fell down on the ground, it'd be really embarrassing. He'd look like a jerk. Like, get up and walk. He falls down. Ha, it didn't work. That'd be rude, right? He took a risk. And Jesus came through. Peter ended up becoming one of the boldest, most full of faith people in history. Peter saw Jesus do more through his life, but it required him to not let failure define him. You see, Peter understood that risk takers have the tenacity to try again. So as you take steps of faith, you're going to fail. That's not what's important. What is important is what will you do after you fail? Are you going to swim back to the boat, never to leave your comfort zone again? Or will you try again? For example, you might be bold and say, you're going to read the whole Bible every day for this year. You're going to read the whole Bible in a year plan, and you start off strong. You got two great days. Then day three comes, and you know, like TikTok just came calling your name, and then you started watching a TV show. You had to binge Gilmore Girls, which is what I like to watch, but anyways. And so day three doesn't go well, and you lose your Bible in a year plan. Okay, you failed. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be like, I can never touch the Bible again? I have ruined it. God hates me. I messed up my plan. I was supposed to end on December 31st, and now I'm not going to. I'm not going to read the Bible in a year. Or are you going to like just, you know, try again the next day? Because Jesus isn't up there like, how dare you mess up a day for TikTok, you sinner. No, Jesus is like, okay, buddy, let's try again tomorrow. Or maybe you invite someone to small group only for them to laugh at you, call you names and hit you physically, and they start to punch you for inviting them. That's probably extreme. You never know. It could happen. Like you're in the gym and they start beating you with a dumbbell or something like that. And that'd be extreme. That probably won't happen. Could. You never know. Are you going to let that deter you? And you're going to be scared to invite someone to small groups. You're scared of physical pain again. Are you going to say, I'm never living missionally again. One person said no to me and that hurt my fragile heart. Or are we going to try again? And say, you know what? They weren't feeling it. Let's try again. Will rejection control your life? Or are you going to try and try and try? Or let's say you graduate and you do have that horrible first month away from Chi Alpha. Are you going to throw out everything you learned here in the last 4 years because of a bad month? Or will you take a risk, get back up, try again? Here's the question you're going to have to ask yourself. Is will you let failure define you, or will you let God define you? Risk takers have the tenacity to try again even after they fail and fail and fail. And as they keep taking more and more risks, they become the type of person that God can do more in. It's a beautiful thing. As you take more risks, God trusts you with more. You get more faith, so you take more risks, and you just keep going. Because see, God is not after your perfection. God is after your persistence. He wants you to keep trying. He wants people who will have the grit to keep going even when they fail. Jesus wants risk takers. I'll tell you one more story. Back in high school, my friends and I were not crazy at all. Like, while a lot of high school students are out there breaking rules, doing things they shouldn't, we spent our days in my parents' basement playing video games and outside playing sports and, like, trying to create our own wrestling league, like the WWE, but we filmed it and it's on YouTube. Please don't find it. Anyways, I shouldn't have said that out loud. Anywho, one night, we're feeling a little adventurous though, right? Sometimes you just gotta take a chance. And so we felt a burden to take a risk. So we decide that we are going to go talk. We're going to go to this nearby neighborhood, and we're going to get crazy. We're going to ding-dong ditch someone. We're like, we're not going to teepee them. That'd be rude, right? We're going to ding-dong ditch someone. All right. So we walk over to this neighborhood. I remember this so clearly. There's like a little ditch in front of the house. So me and my friends, we all get down in the ditch. We're laying down, and they're just looking. And then we send one of my other friends, who's a little bit more adventurous, to go and ding-dong ditch him. And so he goes up there, and we're just like waiting. And then ding dong, and he starts running back. Ha ha ha, comes and jumps in the ditch with us. And then we see someone emerge. And the door opens, and you might think I'm exaggerating. I don't think I am. I could be. I feel like I see, I feel like an old dude walks out with a shotgun. He's like, I'm about to blow you up for doing this. I legit think he had a shotgun. It could have been something else. But anyways, he walks out, and we are like, nope, every man for himself. And we bolt. So we all get up out of the ditch, and we start running back. It was a weird moment in my life. But anyways, we were all terrified. We were thinking, this risk did not pay off. This is why we give our lives to video games. This is not worth it. And as we're running back to my parents' house, I've got only one thing in my mind. Myself. I don't care if they make it back. I got to make it back. I've got a future to pay attention to. I don't give a flying rip if they're safe. One of my friends trips. And I'm like, deuces. And I just keep going because that's his problem. Every man for himself. And we make it back to the house and we look around and we realize that friend is not here. And we didn't find him for a bit. He didn't get shot. Okay, he's fine. I think. I haven't talked to him in a while. But see, in this moment of terror, all I could think about was me. I was full of faith that we could take this risk. But in the moment that I start to become surrounded by doubt as the crazy man comes out ready to shoot us, when I'm running home, I'm kind of caught in the middle. I'm in the middle of being full of faith and full of doubt. And in the middle of faith and doubt, my focus tended to just be on myself. And this is where we find Peter when he's on the water and walking. He was full of faith. He took a step out. He's walking. So behind him, he sees faith, but in front of him, he starts to doubt as the storm comes. And as he's caught in the middle of a storm of faith and doubt, he turns his focus onto himself. I think this is many of us. We feel like we hear from God. We've got big dreams. We want to get out of the boat. We want to take bold steps of faith. But then as we do it, doubt starts to creep in. We do a risk for God, but then we think, oh, how's this going to work out? Can I do it? Do I have what it takes? We're often caught in the middle of wanting to be a person of faith, but still having doubt. And this is Peter. In the moment that in this time he takes his eyes off of Jesus, he starts to sink. In the middle of faith and doubt, we will be tempted to turn our focus inward. As we take steps of faith, we're going to start to think more and more about ourselves. We start to think, what will other people think of me? How will this impact my future? What if I trip and get shot by the crazy guy? We think, what if I'm not good enough? What if this impacts me negatively? What if I can't do it? What if I'm not good enough? We get so inward focused that our eyes get taken off of Jesus, so then we start to sink. If we want to be risk takers, we have to realize that our life is not all about us. Steps of faith are not all about us. They're about Jesus. Risk taking will require us to sacrifice, to not play it safe. It might lead to personal harm. If our chief priority in life is self-preservation, we will never become the risk takers that God wants to use. We have to, for lack of a better term, get over ourselves if we want God to do more in and through us. So caught between faith and doubt, you will be given a choice. What will your focus be? Will you have your eyes on Jesus, or are you just going to think about what's inside in yourself? And the answer to that question will determine if we get to keep walking on water or if we'll start to sink. So with all this, here's my encouragement for you. I encourage you over this next week to take inventory of your life. Is there a risk that God is asking you to take? Maybe God's asking you to try a small group for the first time. Maybe God is asking you to initiate a conversation with someone about Jesus. Maybe God is asking you to try to read your Bible. Maybe God is asking you to accept a certain job. I don't know what it is, but if God is giving you some risk that you feel like you're supposed to take, my encouragement for you is to ask yourself, why haven't you taken that risk yet? What keeps you from being a risk taker? And then I would encourage you to surrender that and just try and trust God and see what he does. I think we often think we got to do it all on ourselves, that we have to become good enough to take the risk for God, to be used by God, but all you have to do to be someone who becomes used by God is be someone who's willing to be a broken vessel. It says, hey, I'm not good enough my own, but Jesus, I'm willing to let you use me. That's when we become ready for more. Or maybe you're here tonight and no risk comes to mind. You can't think of anything God's asked you. That's okay. I encourage you to pray and to ask God to give you opportunities to take risks for him. If you pray for God to give you an opportunity to take a risk for him to be bold, he will come through. I promise you. Just the other day, I was in the gym, and I was reading a book. And in the book, the pastor's name is Craig Rochelle. He said that he asks God, when he goes to new places, God, have someone come bring up Jesus to me or open up an opportunity for me to share your love with someone. So he shares a story in his book about him sitting in a sauna, and some guy comes in, like, kind of crying, and then that guy, like, had just cheated on his wife, and he eventually comes to know Jesus. It's like Craig Rochelle's better than me. Here's my story, though. So I'm in the gym. And I'll be honest, the gym is like my me time. I do a lot of stuff with people, but I'm pretty introverted. So like when I'm lifting, I'm just really focused in, and I hate not being able to listen to my music. But then I'm like, all right, Jesus convicts me and says, Derek, I want you to pray that prayer. So I pray it. I say, Jesus, give me an opportunity to share you with someone. No joke, 30 seconds later, some dude walks up, and he gives me a weirdest look in the planet. I'm like, hey. He's like, are you still using that? I was like, I am, but okay, you can have it. And so we start to talk, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I just had a really long week. I'm like, oh, well, why is that? In that moment, I was given an opportunity. Am I going to say, oh, that sucks, man, put my AirPods back in and keep going, or am I going to take a risk and start to try a conversation? And I go against my flesh and I start talking to him. And then we spend the next hour talking about Jesus, talking about his life with God, how he's kind of been running from God. And we got to have a really good Jesus conversation. And I just saw him at the gym literally yesterday and we had another conversation. And I'm believing that this guy's going to come to know Jesus someday. It started with me, not a very bold person, to be honest, praying, God, give me an opportunity. So if you're here and you don't see a risk in front of you, my encouragement for you is just pray and ask God for an opportunity. Pray for God to highlight a classmate that you need to talk to or someone in your dorm floor or something like that. If you pray and take risks for God, you will change the world. Our main idea tonight is if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. If you want to see God do more in and through your life, as we're starting this series, Ready for More, if you want to see more happen inside of your life, you got to become a risk taker. You have to become somebody that Jesus can trust with a big assignment. I sense that some of you are here tonight and God has been asking you to do something big and you've been really nervous to do that. My encouragement for you is to trust God, take a step of faith and see what he does. Take the focus off of yourself and onto Jesus. So as Jesus saw Peter walking on water, so remember Jesus was out in the water and he sees Peter start to walk. I think as he saw one of his best friends, his disciple Peter, taking the greatest risk of his life, Jesus started to think about the greatest risk he would ever take. Jesus started to think about when he would take a walk of faith. Because see, just a little bit after this, Jesus would take a walk with a cross from the city, outside of the city, for it to be hung up, for him to be hung on it, and for him to die on this cross. See, Jesus took the greatest risk of all time. Jesus died on a cross for you because he loved you. Because here's the risk Jesus took when he died on a cross. What if nobody accepts the sacrifice, right? It's a risk. I mean, he's God, so he knew it was going to happen, but it's a risk. He was giving his life for us with no guarantee on our end that we're going to do anything about it. Jesus died for you. Jesus took the greatest risk of all time for you. And now he's asking you, will you do the same? Jesus loves you so much. And Jesus wants more for your life. Jesus wants us to have life with God. And Jesus knew that the only way this was going to happen was through him dying. So Jesus died for your sins. And now all you have to do is place your faith in him. And he will cover every mistake you've ever made. He will, everything that you think of when you think of the depravity of your own heart, all the decisions you've made that you regret, Jesus wants to cover them in an instant. He took a risk, paid the price, and now you don't have to. So I implore you, maybe make tonight a night where you take a risk and decide to go all in with Jesus, to commit to giving your life to God. And see, this is the most sure risk you'll ever take. Because yes, this will require you to give your life to God. But the reward is far greater than you could ever imagine. 2024, the year of revival. We are praying for God to do more on our campus than we've ever seen. And the only way that God is going to be able to do this is if we're willing to take some risks. And as we were sitting in worship, I just got a sense from the Spirit. So there's a lot of you that have actually been pretty new to Chi Alpha, that you started coming around this semester, pretty new and just jumping in. And I felt like God wanted to speak to you that he doesn't want you on the bench next year. It'd be easy for you to kind of come in and like, oh, I'm going to take the next year and kind of just focus myself and coast. And then the year after that, I'll maybe start to take some risks. And I felt like God was saying, even if you've been following Jesus for a week, even been Chi Alpha for a week, he wants you to take risks and bold steps of faith for him. That I want Chi Alpha to be a place where no one's on the bench. We believe in empowering students because Chi Alpha is not about me. It's not about our worship team. It's about students being willing to take up the cost of discipleship and say, I'm going to risk everything I have for the people around me. Because if you have a relationship with Jesus, then you have found hope through him and you have found forgiveness and life through him. But there are 10,000 students around you who, if they died right now, would spend eternity apart from God. There are 10,000 students on our campus who do not have hope in the name of Jesus. There are 10,000 students on our campus who don't know what their eternity looks like. And he is saying, will you, Chi Alpha, be the generation that says, yes, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to die to my comfort zone. I'm going to lower myself so I can increase the people around me. I'm going to go out of my comfort zone and talk to people about Jesus because I want to see them find the hope that you've given me, God. Will you be that generation? If you will, better get ready for more. Because God will do more in and through your life than you could ever imagine. If you want to be a part of what God is doing here on campus, you must be willing to take some risks. If you want God to use you as you leave Chi Alpha and go into your next season of life, you must be willing to take some risks. Life's not going to get easier as you graduate. It's probably going to get more complicated. Will you take a risk and keep saying yes to Jesus? But if you commit to being a risk taker, I believe that you will become ready. You'll be ready for the more that God wants to do in and through you. Would you all stand with me? I'm gonna give us two ways to respond tonight. If everyone will close your eyes and bow your heads. First way I wanna give us to respond is if you're here tonight and you haven't taken that first step of faith and given your life to Jesus, maybe you've been doing life on your own, but you wanna take a bold risk tonight and take a step of faith and give your life to Jesus and go all in with God, what I'm gonna ask you to do is I'm gonna ask you on the count of three to raise your hand as a sign of taking a risk of going all in for Jesus and having him wash you clean. So that's you, and you wanna give your life to Jesus or turn back to God. On the count of three, raise your hand. One, two, three. Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you for my new brothers and sisters in your kingdom, God. Thank you for being a God who took the ultimate risk for us, Jesus. He gave everything for us, God. And now we get to have life with you, Jesus. The second way I want us to respond is we're going to sing one more song together. And what I'm going to encourage you to do is if you want to be the kind of person who's a risk taker, is take a risk and get out of your comfort zone. Maybe that'll look like, as we start singing, you coming up to the front or spreading out. Maybe it'll look like getting on your knees in worship. Maybe it'll look like raising your hands for the first time. I don't care what the risk is. Do something to get out of your comfort zone physically to signal what you want to happen internally. All right? So we're going to sing one more song together, and I encourage you, if you want to be a risk taker, do something that is a risk-taking move and get ready for the more God wants to do. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. God, thank you for my friends. Thank you for our Chi Alpha family, God, and for everything that you're doing through them. Jesus, I pray that we will be people that take risk after risk just to make your name known, Jesus. Help us to be like Peter and walk on water, God. We love you so much. Amen.